So yes, I did feel a little weird again last weekend for that cancellation, but it is what it is. You heard that, right?
Yes.
Now, I'd like to briefly cover some of the things that you have there on your handouts from last week's sermon, so that we don't lose the tracking of it, okay? And it is as such. Yeah, that's what it was, because I didn't preach last Sunday. There was nothing. No, I'm just kidding. You didn't hear a word, right? That's because, again, it didn't go out the normal way that we had in our sermons. But you have it printed in your papers, in your handouts today, so you can read it. Basically, we're going to talk at that time at the, about the juncture and division of John in chapter 7. And the focal point of that specific scripture section that we're going to read is diversity. Now, how many of you like diversity? I know, I figured that there was be a few of you that did. But hear this. We speak of those who God set apart during that time. You know, and I think chapter 7 and speaks about those who got out of the great ordeal, as it is called. And there were some that were counted from the people of Israel. Have you ever heard those 144,000? You've heard of that number, right? Okay, that's there in that text. And it's a puzzling number. Everybody's, oh, is that the Jewish people? Which part of the Jewish people is that? It's 12,000 from each tribe. But what happened with the other tribes? And I mean, it goes on and on and on. But it so happens that those are mentioned that are present in the heavenly throne. But there's others. The others were dressed in white robes. And those who were dressed in white robes had washed those robes with the blood of the Lamb. That's why I called the sermon, if I'm not mistaken, Heavenly Laundry. And those who have the white robe, they stand with the elders and the angels and the creatures. We talked about the first sermon of this series. And they are all praising God. And those with the white robes were from, listen to this, every nation, every people, every language. It is an inclusive scenario. And for us who are so insulated here in America, that is shocking and odd and very difficult. For other peoples, that's not that much of a shocking. I don't know, how many of you have been in an airport in Europe? All right, a few of you have. And if you have been in an airport in Europe, you will realize that there's people speaking languages left and right that you don't know what it is. There's people from everywhere. And you can sit and have coffee and try to listen to the conversation here, and it'll be in a different language than the one that is here and the one that is there. And you'll be like, what in the world is going on? This is like Pentecost. We're going to have Pentecost celebration soon. But I just wanted you to sort of get in that scenario. And just think of us as a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. This scenario is right there with the throne of God And when the lamb that was slain is present. So, I think it's going to be neat. But that's because I like languages and I like to speak and listen to other cultures. And believe me, there's some weird ones that I don't understand. But God does. Yes. So now on this text today, we have a different vision, where everything is new. And the theme that is expressed is packed in God's words. It says, "See, I am making all things new." And it's a great theme for springtime. Right? I mean, do you like the spring thing going on here, right? I mean, we like spring because spring is time where everything comes back, right? Anew. You see the leaves coming back, see the flowers sprouting, you see all kinds of different things that are being recreated. It is a season of change. But a new creation is awakening. The plants, the animals, they're all busy recreating themselves. And we are also called to change with our dress, right? Because we don't have to wear jackets or coats anymore. But also with our allergies. Right? I mean, this springtime comes about and our head starts to hurt and inflammation everywhere we notice, right? Our noses grow fatter. So I'll get off of that spring analogy. But anyway, we need to realize that that is a new thing that is going to happen in that time. And I will break this down a little bit. There's a new heaven, it says, and a new earth. And there is no longer a sea. And when I read that, I was really disappointed. Because I'm a surfer. I like the sea. I like surfing. And I said, "What? Why? Couldn't you take away something else?" But I'm sure that God is going to remember that and is going to fix it somehow. He'll provide. I don't know. Maybe skiing, you know. But why? Why a new heaven? And why a new earth? Well, this is part of what's happening in the last 14 chapters that we haven't been able to cover. And those chapters represent the development of issues in Revelation that are, again, themes for controversy and people interpreting left and right in all kinds of different ways. But basically, it has to do with a very difficult time. Tribulation is called. And it's also having to do with the rise and the fall of the infamous Antichrist. You've heard of it, right?
Yes.
So there's all these images and all these tales and that vision that are showing us some of the things that at the time the people that were reading this text were able to identify, you know, when it talks about the fall of Babylon. You know, well, Babylon usually is associated with the empire, with the Roman Empire. So when they were talking about Babylon, the people that were listening, they could hear, oh, this is this empire in which we are under oppression right now. It is going to fall. So that was like code, right? It was like talking in code for the people that were listening. And finally, it comes to the millennial reign. And that millennial reign, again, there's so many different approaches to it. Whether there's pre-millennials, you know, the people of God are going to go to heaven before the millennial reign, or after, or amillennials who don't think that the millennial reign is going to happen. I mean, there's all kinds of different things. And I don't want to confuse you with that because it really doesn't matter. At least not today. What we note, though, is that after all this happens, the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven. And there is a voice that says, now the dwelling of God is with men. The dwelling of God is with men. Now, think of this. God moves in. I have termed this action from God the new hospitality. It's God coming in to humanity's realm. The holy city, Jerusalem, it comes down to this new creation. And this reminds me of, you know, what we celebrate in Christmas. You remember, right? God with us, right? Emmanuel, God with us. It is a term that seems to be a recurring thing. Not God far away up there in heaven, but God coming and visiting with us. Emmanuel. You see, in the New Testament, hospitality seems to be a common response in the conversions to the way of Christ. When people, like the case of the jailer, when Paul and Silas were in jail, remember there's a big tremor and the jail door just opened up and Paul and Silas sit and this guy, the jailer, comes out and he's almost ready to take away his life because he thinks everybody has fled. Paul and Silas says, relax, we're here. And then he invites them in to his house. And he washes their hurts and he does all these things as they express the gospel. Interesting. There is a response. Are you with me?
Yes.
The same thing happens with Cornelius and Peter. Right? Peter gets his vision. We've said it a couple of times already. He gets his vision. He goes as they were called from Joppa. And he goes with them. And he sees that something has happened there. Vision has visited this man. And he says, now I know that God doesn't make any preference. And he tells them about the gospel of Christ in two sentences. Because immediately the Holy Spirit shuts him up. you know what I'm talking about, right? The Holy Spirit says, okay, Peter, get out of the way. I'm ready to do something. And he just comes down and visits the people. And the response from Cornelius is, stay here for a few days. You see, there's that association of hospitality. When we hear the gospel, something new is happening here. There is a new creation. Remember Zacchaeus? Right? Did I say that right? I love the Spanish version, Zaqueo. It's so simple. Zacchaeus, what happened with him? You know, Jesus invites him to come down. I'd like to go to your house. He says, come on to my house. Big dinner. And what happens with him? He says, okay, I realized something in this conversation. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay back all the money that I stole. There is a response. Hospitality. And it manifests in different ways. So these instances of of encountering the divine, when people hear the gospel, impels folks to be more gracious hosts. It is sort of like if they were making space for God somehow. Right? That with their actions, they were saying, God, stay with us a little longer. Hang around here. So God's hospitality creates a place for Himself in this new creation among us. So you see that what is happening as Jesus Christ's gospel gets spread out and gets pushed into people's hearts, something happens. There is a change where there's space made for God. And ultimately, what this vision is about is saying, hey, there's going to be a time where God is going to be fully here. When actually God is going to dwell with humanity. In reality, earth is a place where God has been wanting things to be going His way. You know, like forever, right? But somehow, I guess we can call it sin, got in the way. Now believers agree, and we even pray that God's presence on earth would be a good thing, right? Right? Don't we pray that every Sunday? Your will be done, right? On earth as it is in heaven, right? So it is our desire to have God's realm of thinking, wisdom, and understanding, grace, and love, all these things to be part of us. That idea of making things on earth as it is in heaven is sometimes confused. And I have some notes on that previous sermon about it. But basically, sometimes prosperity preachers will take advantage of that a little bit and say, well, things must be like in heaven. So you know those streets of gold? Right? We must have that now. Why not? We want God's reign to be present here on earth. Well, that's what it's going to be all about, right, Isabel? She agrees. And as you will read on that sermon from last week, that's a little off from the code. Because that idea of, you know, God's will on earth is being humanized. You see, we think that having jets and 14-bedroom homes is what that means. That's our humanity actually intervening in what God's trying to accomplish. It's usually more about wealth and our well-being than about sacrifice. Nobody likes sacrifice, right? No. Nobody likes it. Mm-hmm. I know. But you'll see in that sermon last week, we talk about why those guys have to have the white robes. So please read it. That's where I'll leave it. But God's way is different. God's way is to have emphasis on hospitality for those that are around us and for God's presence in our midst, so that we can welcome God. And then ultimately, again, in that time, God brings His physical presence and His holy city. And that holy city, the word in Greek is skene, And it's literally translated tabernacle, right? It's like his place of dwelling. Again, and then that harks back to the time in the desert. I know that Scott is learning about all this, right? That time in the desert when God's presence was in the tabernacle. And he says that it comes to dwell. Skene, tabernacle, skeneo, to pitch a tent, to be present. And that's going to be eternal. At that time, God's presence will be among us eternally. And lastly, let's talk about something else that was celebrated this week. There's a new ecology that is happening here as this picture is presented to us. This week we celebrated Earth Day, right? Right?
Yes.
All right. And I thought it was curious that God gives this picture of a new heaven, hello, right? And a new earth. Huh. Interesting. I don't want to dismiss Earth Day. I don't want to dismiss the importance of caring for the earth and doing everything that we can for our own well-being, because it is us who live here, right? But please consider the reality that's being exposed here. All this is going to be done away with. And everything is going to be new. What does that mean? What does that mean for us? And I'm not going to make any implications about this text and the green movement and the ecological movement and all this. I'm just saying that God presents us with a challenge here. And notice that the water that is being offered is not filtered water. We will not need Brita. We will not need zero filters or pure or whatever it is. The water in this new world is way and much, much better than the one that we have now. Because it is described in this new ecology as greener than green. It's going to be bluer than blue. Or let's put it, more transparent than transparent, right? This water is water of life for those who thirst. This water is going to fill in every need and everything that we need. Now, remember, the Alpha and the Omega is the one that is speaking. The beginning and the end. And we've heard that several times, right? I am the Eternal One. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now, would you want to have some of this water? Verse 7 says that those who conquer will inherit these things. Hello? Hello? Yeah. Yeah. You get it, right? Those who conquer will inherit these things. Do you need some help conquering? Do you need the power to conquer? Do you need the strength to go forth regardless of what's happening in the now present that is difficult, that is sometimes mind-boggling? And continue to journey in discipleship with Christ? Do you need that spiritual strength to be your comfort in all the situations of our life, whether we're young or whether we're older? And overcome. Because it's not a matter just of resisting, right? It's not a matter of just being there and taking it all. It is a matter of conquering, overcoming. If you need that, then come. Come. Come to the source of that water. Come to where there are springs of living water available for you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you again for this image that you are challenging us with. Thank you for providing insight for our journey. Thank you for giving us hope, because we are just like those who were listening to these words in the first century. There is oppression around us. It's not necessarily because of the empire or Rome, but because of the heavenlies, all the darkness, that spiritual empire that is in the heavenlies around us. There is oppression because we believe in Christ. And those who do not believe are being oppressed, but they don't just see it. I pray, God, that you may infuse us with that strength, that you may give us that power to overcome, to have victory, even as things seem to be going awry. Help us, Lord. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Let's sing together this song, which is well known by some of you, I'm sure. But it depicts this scenario, and maybe we can take it with us. Heaven came down. And if you want to come as we are singing, please come. Let's pray together. God will give you the strength to endure. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, laid in my heart. Shadow dispelling with joy, I'm telling, he made all that darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit, with life from above, into God's family vine. Justified fully through Calvary's Lord, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Talk of the offer of grace, in the offer through faith be, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now the hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believe, riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Giving is part of worship, but the size of the gift is not what makes it worship. I'm going to say that again. Giving is part of worship, but the size of the gift is not what makes it worship. A person's worship is not better because he or she gives a bigger gift. God expects you to give, but not more than you can afford. Think of what God has done for you and what you would like to do for God. God says not to appear at worship empty-handed, but all shall give as they are able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God.